Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 75 countries around the world over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on natural cures when we come back. And let me ask you this. What do you think's wrong with the Ten Commandments? Because it's pretty obvious that something is wrong, terribly wrong, with the Ten Commandments because they've been banned from our public schools. They're banned from our public institutions. They've been banned from our national consciousness. Now, instead of these 10 simple, time-tested laws, we see the 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto. And they're teaching the 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto to our children in our public schools, our public institutions. And we've now made them a part of our national psyche. Now, this is a pretty radical change in our political and moral outlook over the past 50 years, don't you think? For instance, are you aware that your daughter couldn't receive an aspirin in your public school without your consent, but your daughter can have an abortion? That's right, your daughter can have an abortion arranged through that same public school nurse without even your knowledge, much less your consent. That's why I contend that the solution to this moral perversion and national insanity is to go back to what worked. Let's go back to the Ten Commandments and the Mosaic Law. You know, our founding fathers at the Constitutional Convention in 1787 practiced and advocated the Ten Commandments. And they even put 22 principles of that law into our federal constitution. They obviously did not understand the separation of church and state. And there's still one school left in America that teaches this entire Mosaic Law, the Ten Commandments, and all 759 statutes, judgments, and commandments, as well as the penalties and the 33 benefits that we reserve and we obtain for their observance. Now, every law has a penalty, and you don't have to know what that penalty is to suffer the effect. So whether you call this the Mosaic Law, the Law of God, the Common Law, Natural Law, Karma, or you got some other label to hang on it, it works automatically. It's just like AIDS, herpes, and VD, which just happen to be the natural penalties for adultery. Now, if you'd like more information, why don't you call and order my free general law CD package? That's the place to start. It's a 4-hour commentary on the law in general, and it's educational. It's informative. It's entertaining. And best of all, it's free. You can call right now and order one. The number is 417-273-4967. If you're online, go to our website at georgegordon.org. georgegordon.org. Just click on the email machine and send us an email request for that free general law CD package. Again, georgegordon.org. Or call us direct at 417-273-4967. Hey, we're talking about natural cures. Natural cures that they don't want you to know about is a book written by a fellow named Kevin Trudeau. He's on a mission. He tells you that very plainly in his conclusion section, which I covered for you here a couple of programs ago. He says, listen, here's what I want to do. Here's the vision that I have for America. First of all, I want to go out and educate all these people. There's 15 chapters in this book, 15 chapters. And I can't cover all 15, but I can cover 3 or 4. And today I'm going to pick out chapter 6. Now, he's made reference to this chapter 6, which is entitled How to Never Get Sick Again. My God, that almost sounds biblical. You know that? How to Never Get Sick Again. In fact, when I read this chapter, I was impressed by the conclusion that there's 19, I'm going to tell you what the answer is, it's 19 health laws in the Bible. And this chapter advocates those 19 health laws. I don't think that Trudeau realized that when he wrote the chapter. Now, maybe he does, maybe he doesn't. He doesn't make any references in here that say, you know, let's go to Leviticus chapter 11 and let's learn that lesson. Let's go to Leviticus chapter 25 and let's learn that lesson concerning health laws. I don't see that in here, but I see all of the principles of the health laws of the scripture in here. And he makes this statement. He says, you know, if everybody did this, you could eliminate sickness and disease from planet Earth forever. Hell, that's what God told us 3,000 years ago at Mount Sinai. He says, if you people want to eliminate the diseases of Egypt, follow my instructions. You do this, and you won't get sick again. Now, of course, we haven't done that. And we have sickness and disease in America that defies description. And we love it. We love it. I mean, come on, kids, let's grow up and get real. People love their doctors. My grandmother said to me one time, I'm under doctor's orders. I mean, she was indignant as hell. She said, I'm under doctor's orders. I have to do this. I never did hear my grandmother say, I'm under God's orders and I have to do this, as she was smoking a Camel Stud, eating a ham sandwich. God love her, you know, she was a sweet old lady. I love my granny and I loved my Aunt Bessie, but you know, these old ladies, you know, they didn't follow the laws of God and they had bad health. They died from their bad health. My grandmother had a stroke and she died from that stroke. My Aunt Bessie had phlebitis and blood clots and finally killed her. You know, nice old ladies, but they never practiced the Bible. They were church goers, you know. A lot of these people, you know, they go to church and they pray to Jesus and they're real religious. You know, they turn around three times and shake bat's knuckles under the full moon and drink goat's blood or whatever religious people do, you know. But, you know, they get into it and they're sincere people. Well, Gary Trudeau actually comes up with some of these biblical principles of law that if you followed these legal principles, these principles of law, you wouldn't get sick. Crazy stuff. Listen to some of this insanity. He said, you can call this chapter How to Cure Every Disease. My God, I got to underline that. My books are full of lines and arrows and underlinings and yellow and colors all over them and dog ears. And my wife gets after me and she says, look at this book. Why, you've got the pages turned back. You know, when I want to mark a place in my book like chapter 6, I take the corner and I fold it back. See? Oh, that makes her mad. Librarians hate me. My wife's a librarian. And I got to underline them because somebody's going to write me a letter and say, how in the hell do you cure every disease? And I'm going to say, oh, I know. It's in Natural Cures, chapter 6. And I'll whip over here and I've got this underlined. How to cure every disease. Well, notice the word every in here. God, he almost sounds like God himself. Because that's the term that God uses too, you know. He uses every and all. No reason for you to be sick. There's no reason for tunnel carpal syndrome. And there's no reason for allergies and flu and colds or diabetes. And now, the reason we have these maladies is because we break laws. There are laws in the Bible that tell you don't do that. There's a law in the Bible that says don't eat pig. We eat pig. Pigs are 50% fat. The fat plugs up our arteries. We get atherosclerosis, which results in heart attack and stroke, which results in huge profits for the medical industry. God love them. I just don't want to support my local doctor. No, just me. You know, if it's up to George Gordon, the doctors have to go out and work and make a living just like all the rest of us. Roll up your sleeves, doc, and get out there and do something intelligent for a change. But you know, doctors don't have to do things that are intelligent and they don't have to work because there's so many people that want to eat pig, plug up their veins, and are going to need a bypass surgery operation for $100,000 that they can't afford. So they're going to have to buy insurance, health insurance, of which 44 million of us don't have health insurance so that we too can have bypass surgery like Bill Clinton. Hey, I think I'll leave the bypass surgery to Bill Clinton and his surgeons. I don't want to buy bypass surgery. That's why I don't smoke, quit drinking to excess, and I don't eat pig. Now, I don't want to get in the way of all of you pig-eating Christians out there that smoke Camel Studs and drink Jack Daniels. You know, get after it. But you need health insurance if you're going to do that, because bypass surgery costs a lot of money. And God love them, those heart surgeons have to be paid, and they have to make a living, because they've got mortgages and bills to pay, dogs to feed, and lawns to mow, mortgages just like all the rest of us. But if you want to cure every disease, how to live healthy and disease-free forever, how to be young forever, how to have dynamic, vibrant health, how to live to be 100 and never be sick, how to be a superhero, how to live without drugs and surgery, how to never get old, how to look 25 years younger, like Jack LaLanne, how to maintain youth, how to look like you found the fountain of youth, how you can call this chapter anything you want, but basically this chapter will give you the information to potentially eliminate every and any disease, illness, or sickness that you may currently have, and to prevent any illness and disease that you may be afflicted with in the future. This information will also allow you to potentially slow down and even reverse the aging process. Keep in mind that I'm not a medical doctor, and if you're currently being treated by a medical doctor, make sure that your medical doctor is informed as to what you are doing. Be sure to go to your guardian and get his permission. I can't diagnose or treat anyone's medical conditions, and I present this as medical information for educational purposes only, and this information is strictly my opinion and based on the information currently available, and I believe everything to be true and accurate. So if he's lying to you, it's a constructive fraud. So right now, you either have some known illness or disease such as cancer or diabetes, or you claim to be healthy, one or the other. And if you claim to be healthy, you probably still experience the normal occasional headaches, aches and pains, fatigue, indigestion, colds and flus, heartburn, and so on. These are the so-called healthy people, and they believe that these occasional medical conditions are normal, but they aren't. A healthy person has little, if any, body odor. They have no bad breath, foot odor, and their urine and stool do not smell. They sleep soundly. They have no skin rashes or dandruff. They're not depressed or stressed. They rarely, if ever, get colds, flus, heartburn, aches, and pains. Truly healthy people are full of energy and vitality. They never have to take any non-prescription or prescription drugs because they never have any symptoms that would require them to take a drug. So in reality, every one of you reading this book is unhealthy to some degree. And I can assure you that if you continue to do what you have always been doing in the past, your physical health will slowly begin to deteriorate, and you will get more sickness and disease, and your energy levels will continually go down. Hell, I thought that was old age was my problem. Now I find out I'm sick. Well, some people always ask me, if all you say is true, how did Aunt Millie live to be 85? Well, first of all, I say that I would like to offer my condolences for your Aunt Millie's premature death. It is sad to see someone die so young. You see, I believe that the human body, like all mammals, should live to be well over 100 years old. And when you compare the lifespans of virtually all mammals, they live well in excess of what would be the equivalent of 120 human years. So dying at age 85 to me is dying young. I gotta underline that. So dying at age 85 to me is dying young. I saw Jack LaLanne the other day. He was on TV. Hell, he was an old man when I was born. Guy's 90 years old. 90. See how old that is. If in 2005 he was 90, he must have been born about 1915 then, huh? No. Let me see. If he was born in, if 2005 is 100, be 05. Yeah, about 15. 15 make him 90. I was right the first time. That's what happens when you have a public school education. You can't count anymore. Well, anyway, a guy born in 1915. Hell, my dad was born in 1917. And Jack LaLanne is still alive, and my dad's been dead for 30 years. So, Jack LaLanne was an old man. He still looks pretty good, and he's still healthy and fit and vibrant. I can remember Jack LaLanne, hell, back in the 50s and 60s. He was on TV. When I was a teenager, he was a 40-year-old man when I was, a punk kid going to high school, for crying out loud. And the old fart's still alive, jumping around and acting like he was real healthy. Now, I want to tell you, boys and girls, that when I read this, and all of these health food guys will tell you the same thing, you should live to be 120. Well, the average lifespan here in the United States is about 75, give or take. And God tells you that he's guaranteed you 70. That's 70 years. You'll see that in about Psalm 90 or 91. 70 years. And 80 if you're strong. Let me flip over here and see if I can find that for you. Yeah, here it is. It's in Psalm 90, verse 10. The days of your years are 70 years. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. You're going to die. So I just thought I'd share that with you, that 70 is your natural lifespan. Now, bears and coyotes and deer, they eat the normal good diets, and they all die. They all die. Now, they die full of years. The average lifespan of a cow is about 20 years. I've had a few cows last to be 23, something like that. But, they get old and they get feeble, and one day they lay down and they can't get up, and then they die. And some animals live a little longer than others, and human beings have a lifespan, and God has allotted our lifespan at 70 to 80 years, and that's just about where we're at. So when Aunt Millie lives to be 85, like my granny, she lived to be 87 or 88, and she smoked a pack of Camel Studs every day of her life from age 18 to 85. One pack a day, every day. Now, the only time she didn't smoke a pack of Camel Studs was during World War II, when she couldn't always get Camel Studs and had to smoke Chesterfields. And she complained. She said to me, "There isn't a kick in a carload or a cough in a million." Oh, there isn't a cough in a million or a kick in a carload. That's the way she worded it. She didn't like Chesterfields and Pall Malls, and she had to smoke those crappy cigarettes during World War II, and she complained about it bitterly. But she never gave up smoking. And she still lived to be 88. But when she was born in 1882, she wasn't subjected to pasteurized and homogenized milk. So for the first 20 years of her life, she drank raw milk. And she wasn't subjected to chemical fertilizers. And so she was eating healthy, nutritious foods. And so she had a good, strong constitution when she was a young woman and married and so on. In fact, she didn't start eating bad food until bad food came along in the 1920s and 30s. Boy, did she eat bad food, though, when it became available. She got right after it. So keep that one in mind. He says, keep in mind that these statistics, such as most health recommendations and statistics, come from the government. Without going into a very long dissertation here, I just want to point out the facts that when information is presented from the government, such as lifespan, recommended daily allowances of vitamins and minerals, and food pyramids, etc., you absolutely have to know that this information is false. God, I got to underline that. Boy, that's a powerful statement there. He said, if it comes from the government, you can rest assured that it's a lie. Well, it's not quite true. Not quite true. Let me explain that one to you. The government has to tell you the truth some of the time. Because you see, if they lied to you all of the time, then you would always know the truth. And if the government told you the truth all of the time, then you would always know the truth. In order for your government to deceive you, they must tell you the truth mixed with their lies to deceive you. All right. So, when you get information from the government, sometimes they're telling you the truth. The problem is we can't hardly tell when they're telling us the truth because we know they lie to us constantly. You know, it's kind of like religious people. It's like religious people in the Bible. For instance, religious people go to church and they're real religious and they don't smoke and they don't drink and they don't cuss and they don't go to flows. And they're just real nice, good people. But they're liars. And they lie to their children. And they tell their children about Jesus was born on December the 25th. That's a lie. And they tell their children that Santa Claus comes down the chimney. And that's a lie. And that rabbits lay eggs. And that's a lie. And so when these children get to be 10 years old and they see that their religious parents have lied to them about Christmas, lied to them about Easter, then they say, gee, the Bible must be full of lies because mom and dad tuck a Bible under their arm when they go to church. I know I was careless and unfeeling, and I had five children, and I told my children the truth. I said, Santa Claus is a lie. It's the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. And it's a filthy perversion, and you ought not to believe it. And Easter is a lie, and you ought not to believe it. But the Bible is true, accurate, and correct, and that's what you ought to believe. So today, my children practice Christmas, Easter, and New Year's, just like everybody else, and they reject the Scripture. So my theory obviously didn't work. So I just thought I'd throw that out there, that your children are probably going to reject the Scriptures whether you tell them lies about Christmas or Easter or you tell them the truth about Christmas or Easter, more than likely. And that's because the carnal mind is enmity against God, isn't subject to the law of God, and neither indeed can be. And that's just the way life is. Now, once in a while, you'll run across some guy, and he's an iconoclast. They call me on the telephone here once in a while. And sometimes I even answer my own telephone. People are sometimes shocked. You mean you're Mr. Gordon? You know, like I never answer the telephone. Yeah, I actually answer my own telephone from time to time. You know, not every day, but, you know, once in a while when there's nobody else around and somebody calls the law school and there's nobody here and the phone's ringing and I go pick it up and I say, yeah, what can I do for you? And they say, oh my God, you sound like Gordon. I say, yeah, you got me live and direct. Now that you got me, what are you going to do with me? And they get real shocked, and they say, well, gee, let me ask you a question. You can call here, you know, shucks. I talk to people all the time. And sometimes I know their answers to their questions, and sometimes I don't. And when I don't, I try to be honest about it and say, you know, that's a good question. I don't know what the hell that answer is. I have to go look that one up. And so while we're talking about looking up answers, if you want to be well and never get sick again, you need chapter 6 of Trudeau's book, because he follows, whether he knows it or not, he's following biblical principles, of which there's 19 of them, by the way, in case you were wondering how many. There's 19 that I found. Now, there might be 26, and I haven't found the other 7, but I found 19 of them. And the 19 that I found, I've been following, and it gives me good health. And this guy says you can get good health by doing such things as eliminate the toxins, on page 119, that have built up in your system. And you're loaded with toxins. And the only question is, how many toxins are you loaded up with? You absolutely must get those toxins out of your body. What kind of toxins have you got in your body? Well, do you remember cholesterol and atherosclerosis? When you eat fat, which God told you, you shall eat no manner of fat in Leviticus 3:17, a wild, wild concept. Most of us love fat. Fat tastes real good, especially when it's loaded with salt and or sugar. I mean, it's just nothing better than fat with salt on it. That's why we go to Wendy's, because they are hot and juicy. Now, kids, what did you think that juice was? Jack Daniels or Wild Turkey in the hamburger? Or did you think maybe it might be fat? Yes, it is. It's fat. 30% fat in your hamburger. And you eat that fat, and then it builds up in your arteries. And that's a toxin. That's a poison. That stuff's going to kill you. Well, not directly, but kind of indirectly. You know, you just keep eating that fat, and over a period of time, it builds up until the blood won't run through your veins anymore. And that's when it gets to be real serious. When blood stops going through your veins and your arteries, it gets to be life-threatening. They call that heart attack or stroke. They got a name for it, and then they copyright it. And then you go to the medical doctor, and for, you know, $100,000, you know, we can root that out. Well, did you know you could melt that stuff out of your arteries without surgery? Did you know that? All right, well, Chapter 6 will tell you how to do that. I'm not going to explain that to you here on the air because, you know, some medical doctor, he'd get mad at me because I'm interfering with his monopoly. Now, listen, all you doctors out there in radio land, honest to God, I don't want to get in the way of your happiness and success and your monopoly. Hell, I'm over here championing your cause. I think we should have more medical doctors. I think we need freedom of choice. And that's why I'd like you medical doctors to butt out and let us have our nature pads, would you? And then we'll let your customers go to you and then let us have our health professionals. That's what I hate about these monopolies. But anyway, you need to eliminate these toxins that have built up in your body. And so there's a number of modalities here that you can use to cleanse your liver, cleanse your arteries, cleanse your various body organs, your kidneys and colon and so on. Get rid of all of the garbage that's in there, and you'll just be amazed at how your health is going to turn around. For instance, all of you people out there have worms, intestinal parasites, things like tapeworms. And these tapeworms and pinworms and all these little wormies in here are eating, sucking up the nutrients that you need in your body. So let's picture this. You eat a carrot, and the carrot's full of vitamins and minerals. And then the worms are eating the vitamins and minerals living down there in your gut and colon and intestines. And your body, your cells that are out here on your fingers aren't getting those nutrients that they need. That's what your problem is. So you need to clean up a little bit. Then he says stop or at least reduce the toxins entering your body. You know, if you're smoking a pack a day, could you cut down to half a pack? You know, if you're drinking a pint of whiskey a day, could you get it down to maybe a Mickey? You know, just wild thoughts like that. Shucks, maybe you might even quit drinking altogether, you know, maybe quit smoking altogether. I mean, maybe quit eating fat altogether. I mean, that'd be a kind of a wild new concept. You can get better and better health, better and better results, by putting fewer and fewer poisons into your body. I mean, you know, think about it. Just take arsenic. You know, that arsenic, you know, is reported to be pretty poor for you and probably going to cause you some health problems. You know, instead of taking 3 or 4 or 5 grams of arsenic a day, maybe cut it down, you know, to a couple or one or half. The less arsenic you put into your body, the healthier you're going to be. Does that make sense to you? Yeah. I thought it would. Hey, listen, the less nicotine you put into your body, the better it's going to be for you. I had a guy come in here one time. He says, well, I go to the whorehouse about once a week. And he says, he asked me, you're telling me that I need to give up adultery, fornication, and whoredom. And I said, yeah. It'd be better for your health and better for your long-term prospects in the kingdom of heaven. And he said, well, okay, I hear you, but do I have to quit cold turkey or could I taper off instead of once a week down at Flo's, maybe twice a month, maybe once a month? I said, well, shucks, you know, just being real pragmatic about it. Let's see, the penalty for adultery is death, and God can only kill you once. Well, truth is, he could kill you twice, but, you know, normally, you know, he's only going to kill you once. So, you know, if you were to taper off, you know, once a month, you know, would be better than once a week. Yeah, just my common sense tells me that. Now, it could well be that once a month is going to get you killed just like once a week. So if you're going to keep it up permanently, I wouldn't taper off at all. Hell, I'd just go all out and go down to Flo's every week. Might as well burn the candle at both ends, you know. Just drive as many of those coffin nails in there as you can get. But if you start tapering off, you know, there's a point in time, you know, you might be able to give it up altogether, quit, which might be even better for you. So that's why they suggest, you know, that you cut down on these toxins that you're taking into your body. If you're living in Los Angeles, California, and you have to cut your air in order to breathe it, it might be to your advantage to consider strategic relocation and move from Los Angeles to another area where you can actually breathe the air without cutting it into little squares first. I know it's a wild new idea, but mull that one over while we remind you that you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States. We're heard worldwide daily over the Internet. And for more information about The Law School and The Law Hour, please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org. The Law School teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. The Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and it is open to individuals, but by prearrangement only. The Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. For more information, please go to our homeschooling page on our website at georgegordon.org. The Law Hour website is updated weekly, and it has our radio log schedule and archives, and that can be accessed through the website. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest, and the Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events, and we do that 7 days a week. The Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order one for yourself. The number to call, 417-273-4967. Again, area code 417-273-4967. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief. The Law Hour and editorial review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program. And we often endorse and recommend books, periodicals, papers, and newsletters to our listeners. These endorsements or recommendations that we give do not mean that those authors or publications that we endorse or recommend are necessarily going to reciprocate. And that's because most of these authors and publications that we cite here on the Law Hour are political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans whose viewpoint is not necessarily totally endorsed by the Law Hour and editorial review. Now, these opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of our advertisers, the sponsors, the management or staff of this network, or local radio station. For more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, please go to our website at georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org, or you can call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, we're reviewing a book called Natural Cures. These natural cures actually parallel the 19 health laws of the Bible. It's called Natural Cures That They Don't Want You to Know About. Very simple. Here's what you do. Kevin, K-E-V-I-N, Trudeau, T-R-U-D-E-A-U. Sounds kind of Frenchy to me. Kevin Trudeau. And the book is called Natural Cures. If you go into Barnes & Noble or Amazon.com and you just give them the title, Natural Cures They Don't Want You to Know About and Kevin Trudeau, they'll punch it in their computer. The recommended price is $29.95. It's what they got on the fly leaf here. Dust jacket. And I'm on Chapter 6, and we're taking a look at what do you have to do to have perfect health. Now, I don't like to brag, and I'm not going to tell you I got perfect health, but, you know, my health is about fair to middling. About fair to middling. I don't get colds and flus and one thing and another, and I don't have any allergies, and I don't have to wear glasses or hearing aid, and I'm pushing 70. I'm going to tell you how old I am, but I'm pushing 70. I'm old enough to draw Social Security, and I don't do it. It's bad for my health. And I'm in pretty good health. I'm going to go out here in a few minutes. I'm building, rebuilding my corral, so I'm out here rebuilding the corrals. I'm an old-timey general contractor. I'm a carpenter. I'm a plumber by trade. And I can still go out and fix pipes and cut boards and build gates and put up fence and do all those things. And I'm not as good as I was when I was 30, but I can work most of you city people right into the ground. That's because most of you people are couch potatoes. Now, if you want to get up off the couch and you want to get your health back, there are some things that you need to do. In chapter 6 here in his book, which he tells you to read from beginning to end, starting on page 1, I never do that. I always start with the table of contents and then go to the interesting chapters and read those first. That's what I did here. So I didn't read this book, you know, from page 1 on. I just skipped around in here and read all the interesting chapters, and that's what I'm reporting on. I suppose now that's like cutting the label off of a blanket or off of a pillow or off of a mattress, and I'm going to go to hell forever because I didn't read it from beginning to end, and then I cut off the label off the mattress. He says you got to reduce and or neutralize the electromagnetic energy that is attacking your body, the energy fields and cells. Now, the reason I cited that one is number 5 over. He's got 7 rules here. Is because your body is an electromagnetic battery. Did you know that? And I was surprised when I saw this guy report on that, because there's a section in the Bible, there's a statute in Leviticus 19:19 that says, you shall not let a garment, a material of diverse sorts come upon your body. You know, like you buy socks over at Walmart, and they're 89% cotton and 11% polyester. It's against the law. It violates Leviticus 19:19. And when I saw that little blurb right there, it's on page 120, I said, did this guy Trudeau read Leviticus 19:19? Remember I said he's following the Bible, the 19 health laws of the Bible? Did you know that's a health law in the scripture, not to wear mixed fabrics? Because it interferes with the electromagnetic neural connectors of your body. Let me describe that for you. I was over at Acres USA some years back when old Charlie Walters was still running that outfit, you know. It was up in KC. There was a guy there by the name of Jerry Feldenstein, or Friedenstein, I guess it was. Friedenstein. And he had a machine there. He's kind of electronics nut, see? And he had this machine there, and it would measure the electrical aura of your body. Now, you know, this is very scientific. I mean, if you know, don't laugh at me yet now, because this is called Curlian photography. And you can actually photograph the electrical magnetic aura or field around your body. You've heard of the magnetic field of the earth? Well, you got a magnetic field around your body. And when you wear clothes that have mixed fabrics in them, it interferes with that magnetic field in your body. Now, what does that magnetic field in your body do? I haven't got a clue. You know, it's like buying a 747. I mean, you may be an airline pilot. But, you know, pilots don't necessarily know what the technical thingies in the airplane do. They fly the airplane. I mean, I'm an old-timey pilot, and I fly airplanes. But that doesn't mean that I know what's going on under the cowling out there, you know, or that I know what's going on with the servos and the various and sundry electrical components in the airplane. There are mechanics and electricians and guys, you know, they can kind of appreciate that. I just push the button and the landing gear comes up, you know. I don't know why it comes up. I just know that it reduces drag and the airplane goes more better if I retract the gear, and so I push the button. Well, that's what we're talking about here with this, with these mixed fabrics. God doesn't explain in any great detail, you know, how the landing gear works. He just points out that, you know, here's the button, and, you know, when you take off, you should retract the gear. Well, Trudeau here in this chapter 6 says he makes reference to this. Well, anyway, this Friedenstein was demonstrating this at the Acres conference, which I happened to be attending, and there was one of these naysayers over there laughing, and he was making fun of Friedenstein. And, of course, I'm just an old farm kid, and I'm just dumb as a box of rocks. Nobody ever accused me of being the sharpest marble in the drawer. And I was listening to this guy, Friedenstein, as he was explaining this electrical field around your body and how it has something to do with your health. And this guy's over there kind of snickering and hooting and hollering and making fun of him. And so Friedenstein said, well, let me demonstrate it for you. And so he said, he's telling the story to my wife, and he said, I'll demonstrate to you. He said, back up over there. And so my wife backed up, and he had this probe on this electrical thingy, machine of some kind, and he pointed the probe at her, and he said, okay, now come a little closer and a little closer. And at 9 feet, the dial started to move up, and she could peg the dial at 100. At 9 feet. Okay, he says, well, now your total electrical field will peg out at 9 feet. So he said, okay, Gordon, let's try you. So I had me back up, and so I started coming a little closer, and then at 7 feet, I could peg it out at 100. All right. So he points to this guy over there wearing a polyester suit, see? And he says, hey, you, polyester, want to test this? An old polyester over there, you know, who's laughing and snorting. And he says, yeah, I'll try it. And so he pegged it out, too, but it was 12 inches from the probe. So the Friedenstein said, now, we don't really know what the health effects are. Nobody's ever, to my knowledge, nobody has ever said, look, we got to test this electromagnetic field around your body. But Mrs. Gordon, you have a very high energy field, and it probably has something to do with your health. And Mr. Gordon, you have a very high energy field. And he said, hey, polyester, you're right next to death's door. You have practically no energy field at all. I don't know what that's going to do to you, mister, but you ought to change it. So I tucked that away in my heart until I got to this chapter 6. And when I saw that, I said, geez, I just can't contain myself. So I circled number 5, and I dog-eared page 120, and then I underlined it over here. And I says, oh, my God, here's a biblical principle. And there's 19 of those, boys and girls. I just thought I'd throw that one out there for your consideration. Now, God doesn't talk to me, at least the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You know, I haven't had any direct communications. He doesn't come down and say, hey, Gordon, come on over here. Let me explain to you Leviticus 19:19. All I know is what I saw there in the scripture, and then what I see here, which is done in science, and then I try to put the two together and say, well, gee, is there any correlation? And I see a little correlation there. And Trudeau wrote about that. And he talks about stress, and you know, doctors, you know, real doctors. I mean, you know, the real guys with the MD degrees, they talk about stress too, you know. They say stress is bad for you, whatever this thing of stress is, and type A, and, you know, so. And then you got to use your mind and words to create a healthy alkaline body pH. Alkaline. You need your body pH on the alkaline side. Well, you know, I'm an old-timey farmer, and I know I got to keep my fields, you know, on the alkaline side of pH. And so he says, well, you got to keep your body on the alkaline side pH. It's what we call a neutral, you know. And I think, what was it? It was 7? Isn't that neutral? Something like that. 6 or 7. And we test our soil, you know, for the pH balance. All right. He says, now I've seen CEOs of drug companies go on TV and look at the camera, reading the script and their lawyers wrote, saying, we are working on a cure. Let me tell you, they're not working on a cure. They're working on something to suppress the symptoms and to put your body out of balance. Think about this. All drug companies are researching only patentable drugs. All money that is given to charities and foundations is used to find a drug that can be patented. All government funding used in research and prevention and cure of every disease is only being used to find patentable drugs. And this means that all of the money is being used to find a patentable drug that can be sold and make drug companies billions of dollars in profits. Not one penny is ever used to look at treating, preventing, or curing any disease with any natural method. Oh, my God. I put a big bracket around that one. That's on page 121. I got a great big bracket. Then I dog-eared the page. And then I underlined several sentences. All government funding used to research and prevention of the cure or for cures of every disease is only being used to find patentable drugs. That's why I'm opposed to ACT UP. I don't want to pay taxes to the government so that they can go out and give that money to researchers so that they can find a cure to AIDS which can be patentable and then sold to people for $100,000 a year. I don't want to support that. Now, if you do, get after it. So I quit. So all you ACT UP people can just die for all I care. I'm not going to pay any taxes to support your lifestyle or to support your disease. Now, if you want to cure your AIDS, you can do that in a heartbeat. For $29.95, you can buy the book Natural Cures, and he'll tell you how to do that. AIDS is a penalty that we pay for sexual misconduct. We have a law in the Bible that says, "Thou shalt not commit adultery." You ever heard that? Thou shalt not commit adultery. All right, now there's a whole chapter on sex crimes. It's in Leviticus chapter 18. The basic law says, don't go out here and sleep with your neighbor's wife. But there's other things like you can't have sexual relations with your Aunt Bessie either, kids. And you can't have sexual relations with your sisters, your mothers, your brothers, your aunts, your uncles, or your daughters-in-law. It's all against the law. In fact, God is kind of an old prude, is what he is. And he's got these crazy ideas. Now, my bulls out in the field, they breed their mothers for crying out loud. They don't care. Yeah, that's right. You take a bull, put him out in the pasture, he'll breed his mothers, his sisters, his aunts, his uncles, his brothers. He don't care. If it moves, breed it. God is an old prude, and he says, no, that's not good human conduct. I don't like that. I want you to have sex. Sex is a great invention. When God invented sex, if he invented anything better than sex, he kept it for himself. Sex is great. I love it. But listen, sex, you know, is not great in ways that are unapproved, and they produce disease. And so God, he comes along and he says, you know, I told you suckers over there, thou shalt not commit adultery. And so he invented some little microbes over here. They're called AIDS, herpes, and VD, gonorrhea, syphilis, you know. And you don't need a policeman out here to give you a ticket, you know, off of a radar detector or a radar machine. It ain't necessary. These little microbes are down at Flo's whorehouse. That's why I stay away from Flo's now. Because I found out about these little microbes down there. When I was 19, I had eternal life. And then after I got a little older and wiser, I found out that life isn't eternal and that I'm going to die someday. So I thought I'd postpone that inevitable day as long as I could. I'm kind of a wimpy little coward, and I'm very susceptible to pain. God, I hate that pain thing. And so I thought that cancer isn't for me because of the excruciating pain. And I tried that pain, you know, with heart disease. I had a heart attack one time. After I had that heart attack and it hurt me so bad, I said, you know, I'm so sensitive to pain, I think I'm going to quit eating Oreo cookies. And that's what keeps me in line, pain. Pain, suffering, and anguish. It'll do wonders for your outlook on life. Well, anyway, these CEOs are over here, and they run these drug companies, and you know, can't blame them. They get on television, and they're telling you all about these wonder drugs and how we're looking at Merck, you know, to find the cure. Okay. Well, when you see that ad, they're lying to you. They don't always tell the truth. They're lying. And they're reading those lies right off the script that was written by their lawyers, who are liars. And of course, that's what lawyers are paid for. Lawyers are paid professional liars. I know I'm one of them. I was in court one time, and a guy wanted me to take an oath, and I said, no, I don't think I want to do that. And he said, well, if you don't take this oath, well, I'm going to put you in jail. And I said, well, I don't think I ought to take that oath. And so he threw me in jail for 5 days. I tested this oath thing. And he said, do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God? And I said, no, sir. Boy, did that make that judge mad. Little Judge Grant up there in Boise, Idaho. He just really got incensed. He's no Mormon judge. And he said, why you won't take the oath? Why you come in here and tell the truth in this courtroom? Why you go to jail for 5 days? Now, listen to this. The judge asked me, he said, are you going to tell the truth? And I said, no, sir. I had a judge in the Ninth Circuit, he asked me, he said, well, when you said no, sir, were you telling the truth? And I said, yes, sir, I'm a pathological liar. And he said, well, is that the truth? And I said, yes, sir, I'm a liar. Oftentimes I ask my students that, you know, I get a student in class and I say, how many of you people in here are liars? Just plain bald-faced liars. And everybody sits there and they look at me like I'm stupid. And nobody raises his hand. And I said, well, that's what I wanted to hear. Now, how many of you people tell the truth? And they all raise their hands. And I say, well, how many of you people are liars? And they look at you and say, well, I thought you already asked that question. And I said, well, do you always tell the truth? How many of you always tell the truth? You never lie. And they all look at you like, and then nobody raises his hand. And I say, well, how many of you have never lied in your whole life? And then you get this blank stare, nobody raises his hand. I said, how many of you are never going to lie again as long as you live? And they all look at you with a big blank stare like, And I say, well, excuse me, folks, I raise my hand and I say, well, maybe I'm the only pathological liar here in the classroom. But my name is George Gordon and I have lied in the past. I have lied recently and I'll guarantee I'm going to lie before I die. No doubt in my mind. I've had a long history of lying. My God, you don't want to believe anything I tell you. There's only one guy around that I knew of that ever said that he was not a liar, and that was God. And he said that, and it was Malachi, something like that. He said, I'm the God that cannot lie. And I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I don't change. Hell, I change with every passing wind. Your Congress changes every time they meet. They can't keep the same laws on the books very long. They got to alter, reform, or amend it. So anyway, I just wanted to point out to you that, you know, most people go to church, and if you ask these churchgoers, you know, are you a liar? You know, they'll tell you, no, not me. I don't lie. Then when you ask them, well, have you ever lied in the past? Well, I think I did lie once in my life. Have you lied recently? Well, you know, maybe I did kind of stretch the truth a little bit recently. You think maybe you might lie or stretch the truth again in the future? Well, maybe that could happen. And I say, well, excuse me, sir, you're a liar in the past, you're a liar in the present, and you're going to be a liar in the future. Aren't you a liar past, present, and future? Aren't you then a liar? Is this pathological? Or do you just do this on purpose? Tuck it away in your heart. Now, these guys that come on television, you know, they probably mean real well. I'm sure Bill Gates is an honest, true guy. And he says, I want to stamp out malaria. I want to vaccinate everybody in the world. and I'm going to spend billions of dollars of my fortune trying to eradicate disease. Well, he's not going to do it that way. Help, folks. Folks, wake up. We've been vaccinating people for 150 years, and we haven't eradicated disease. Hell, it's worse today than it was when we gave the first vaccine back in 1853. The first mandatory vaccination program in England, 1853, against smallpox. Hell, disease is worse today than it's ever been. I don't think vaccinations are the solution, but then, you know, don't let me get in your way. I don't want to prevent you from having a vaccine. I don't want you queers out there, to be prevented in getting a vaccine for AIDS. And pay billions of dollars to the pharmaceutical industry for a patentable vaccine. Get after it. I don't want to buy it. I don't want to participate in it. So if you want natural cures, this is the book you want. If you want patented cures, don't buy this book. You're wasting your time. If you like your drugs and your medicines and your MD doctors, you don't want to buy this book called Natural Cures. It's upsetting. It's going to make you feel real bad. I wouldn't recommend it to anybody. Now, if you're curious and you're sitting there saying, well, yeah, I'd kind of like to know about natural cures. I'd kind of like to know. How do I get off insulin? How do I regenerate my pancreas? How do I cure cancer without cut, burn, and poison? And I got the book for you. It's called Natural Cures, and Chapter 6 is the one you want. And he wants you to read the book from page 1 on. I don't care if you read page 1 first or last. Frankly, I read his solutions chapter first. Because the first thing I wanted to know when I opened the book is, well, what in the hell do you think is the solution to the problem? And so when I read his solutions page, I was busily making notes and dog-earing the pages and putting brackets around the paragraphs and writing words in there like, why, you know, what in the hell is this all about? And so I got that one under my belt, and then I took a look at chapter, Where's the Money? Follow the Money. He's got a chapter in here on Where's the Money. And I think you're going to like it. And by the way, let me tell you what the cost is. It's $29.95. That's 5 cents a page. It's 570 pages. And there isn't a page in here that I've read so far. Not a page in here that if I'd have seen the headline on a newsstand at USA Today that I would not have put 50 cents into the machine and bought the paper to find the answer to that question. Every page in this book is worth 50 cents, and there's 570 pages. 570 times 0.50 is $285. This book is worth $285. And it only costs $29.95. And it's called Natural Cures They Don't Want You to Know About, and it's written by Kevin Trudeau. All right, so there you are. I told you the story, and that's it. Next week we'll talk about food and soil. Food and soil. Boy, will I blow your socks off next week. But until then, let me remind you that you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard worldwide over the Internet. And we're heard daily on the Internet. For more information about The Law School and The Law Hour, please go to our website. Remember, that's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. The Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. The Law Hour website is updated every week. It has our radio log schedule and archives, and that can be accessed through the website at georgegordon.org. Now, The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Time's up. We got to leave it right there. I'll see you back here tomorrow night, same time, same station. God willing, of course. Until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.